The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones. It's Thursday, April 22nd. We've got a huge show for you today. We're talking about Vivian. We're handing out our Booger Boy of the Week. We're talking Steph and Westbrook. We're talking about the Clippers because it doesn't feel like anyone else is. We're talking about the end of the relationship between Kobe Bryant and Nike. And we're talking about fuck Matt Forte. So before we get to all that, I got to introduce my good buddies, hosts of Jenkins and Jones, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
Hello, guys.
My voice like squeaked. Did you hear that?
Hello, guys.
Going through puberty right now.
Your white boy voice.
That was actual white man voice.
The white guy voice is becoming a white man voice.
We got to stop this shit right now, dog.
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Way to bring us back.
Yeah. My white guy voice is mellow.
Oh shit, boy! I thought it was all bad. With
even
that,
killed.
Yeah. I can't say nigga the whole podcast.
Gonna get us in trouble. Gonna get us in trouble.
Bomb podcast with Jethro. You feel me?
Well, we're gonna start where we have to start. With a Vivian, the saga. The greatest scandal. This is why Twitter still exists, is for shit like this, bro. Tyler, can you give us the 90-second, 60-second, however many second version of what the fuck happened with Vivian, bro?
I'll give you the elevator cell, as they say. So basically, okay, there was this account, this account that was pretty active on Lakers Twitter, Butterfly424, something like that, right? Known as who we now know as Vivian, we'll come back to that.
Vivian.
Well, anyway, so you know this. Yeah, so this is an account that was pretty popular with Lakers Twitter, Lakers Nation, and to give you the background story on this person, this was a very pretty young lady, seems to be mid 20-ish or so, whose story was that she played ball overseas, she battled leukemia, she drove a Bentley.
Hey, that's the catfish account trifecta right there, bro.
okay, so anyway, this person who was very beloved in Lakers Twitter, there's this other account, this dude named Josh Two Saints. He tweets on Sunday afternoon that, you know, Vivian, this account, is gone missing. And, you know, he posts a picture. He said, you know, she might have a wig, she might not, because she's been battling leukemia. And, you know, be on the lookout for her in her 2020 Bentley. And so,
bro, this man needed to write a movie. He should have stayed off Twitter and wrote a fucking movie. He'd be rich right now.
Yeah. And so basically it kind of all boils down where people are kind of just figuring out, like, you know, people scroll through the media and they're seeing all these Photoshop pictures, like this is like 2003 era type photos. Like, this is some shit you should not have been flying in 2020, 2021. Right. And weird. And everyone's looking like, yo, this is not a real person. And it's just been kind of exposed that if she wasn't a real person. So, you know, Twitter took off with the jokes, lit into Josh Two Saints. You know, there's speculation that he was the one behind it. Then the next day, Vivian posts a picture with her name misspelled. It had been spelled V-I-V-I-A-N. You know, she did a This Is Me, I'm Real, holding up a piece of paper with her name, and she misspelled it there. And so then, after people were lighting up for that, she deleted her fucking account. So now we have no idea if this Josh dude was behind it or what, but that's where we're at with it.
So here's what we know. There was a catfish. The question is, did Josh Two Saints, was he catfishing us by having an imaginary person he was doing a podcast with, or was he being catfished by an unidentified third party behind this Vivian account? It's pretty obvious that the Vivian account is fake.
Yes.
The Photoshops, as you said, are fucking outrageous. If you have not seen them, they've traced them to someone was Google searching like Filipino basketball player and just slapping a fucking head on it in clip art. Like, oh, it's so bad. So that's the question. We're not fucking detectives. We're not trying to get all the details of this story right. I'm not trying to.
They're detectives.
That's for Twitter. We're just here to laugh. We're here to laugh at what's in my opinion. I mean, so if we misstate something here, please, you don't need to tweet us a correction. And also, let me say this:
we don't give a fuck. Number one,
you don't need to tweet us asking us to talk about this kind of shit. We live for this shit. Like,
yeah, this is the hard hitting journalism that Jenkins and Jones hangs our hat on. This is what we're here for. Yeah.
I just think that the catfish, like that's a double catfish that's going on if he's behind it for 10 years.
The kid
is 25 now. He's been doing that since 15.
But there was this other fucking surprise character that emerged.
Oh shit!
This guy named Waleed, who was a friend of Josh, and the Twitter detective.
Wait, Waleed, the Middle Eastern dude.
Yeah, with the long hair.
He's like a social media guy.
I don't. Well, he's on social media, so I guess.
I mean, like no, like this dude is like the internet.
Oh no! I don't know. I never heard of him until this.
I'm gonna say, damn! You know. I used to work with homie. I need to hit that man up.
but the Twitter detective, because there was a pod where you know Josh and Vivian were on, and people were like, this motherfucker's crazy because he's interviewing himself. But people pitched down Waleed's voice, and it sounded like Vivian. So people aren't sure about that either. So we don't know about this surprise character who emerged. So the plot thickens.
You know what I love about this? It's so weird. But it's Twitter, so it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
This is very Twitter. It's really a very normal thing on Twitter almost, which is I love that part about it. But this shit is fucking good. Tyler. You were on the case, my buddy.
Tyler was in his fucking back, bro.
Right? You know what I'm saying? You were deep. You were deep in it, bro.
She was stringing this one dude along for 10 years. Did you see that shit? Some dude named Kings, I think is his name. Well,
okay.
Oh, no. And that's the other wrinkle we should mention is that I believe that's kind of how it got
out.
He was talking about it and ended up in a Twitter spaces with Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Because it all rose lead back. Vivian might be Kevin Durant. That was one of the theories going around. Like, all roads lead back to Kevin at some point.
He's the center of the internet, Twitter universe at this point. You know what I mean? He's the sun.
That was the first way I heard about it was KD making fun of this dude for getting catfish.
Saying, old boy ain't got cakes in a long time, bro. He ain't slapped no cakes in a minute. Implying that, you know what I mean? When's the last time you've had sex, Mr. Kings?
Mr. Kings? Mr. at Kings? Yeah. but they said, you know, he was dealing with her for damn near a decade, and then he just gave it up because she, like, refused the video chat or whatever, and that's when she, quote-unquote, went missing and told everyone that she was missing, and that's when the cover got blown, so.
If you've been dealing with somebody for 10 years, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't just quit. That's 10 years in, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, video chat, how long have we had FaceTime? She refused the video chat. You could have Skyped her.
She said she was self-conscious.
But a decade in? Y'all been talking for a decade? You know what I mean? Like, bro.
Josh Two Saints recorded a podcast with her.
Bro, I mean, I bet, man.
She was saying she wanted to do it via, like, voicemail.
Via voicemail? What?
Dog, have y'all ever been catfish? Have y'all ever, has anybody attempted to catfish y'all?
I feel like I've known a catfish when I see it. And I'm usually right if that person winds up getting exposed.
People have catfished as me on the internet because I'm a sports writer or whatever. You know, I cover kids, so they think that shit's funny. But I've never been catfished.
Somebody tried to catfish me in like early Twitter, bro. Like 2011, you feel me? And I think like by sentence 8, by like the third photo,
this motherfucker ain't a real person.
Bro, like, look. I mean, it was a real person, but they weren't that person. Yeah. The photos that were being sent to me I'm like, dog, I'm what at the time, late 20s, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like 27, you know what I'm saying? Like 28, something like that. Bro, I don't have no money. Like, why the fuck would you fuck with me? There is no way this motherfucker wants John Nichols, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, we gonna leave this alone. She, dude, yachts and all this shit. Bro. I'm like, all right. This motherfucker, I drive a Honda Accord at the time, okay? You know what I mean? I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And it's not paycheck to paycheck. I'm living paycheck to probably 3 days before the next paycheck. You feel me? There's no fucking way. Listen, you're going to come through and try to holler at me on some, because I say funny things on Twitter, dog.
Bro, like I said, like, this catfish sold the dream of a beautiful lady who's wealthy, who's going to chauffeur you around in her 2020 Bentley and discuss the Lakers with you. Naive or how ridiculously optimistic are you to think that a beautiful woman is going to be romantically interested in you and pick you up in a 2020 Bentley to discuss the Bron and AD pick and roll?
Bron and AD to discuss whether Caruso had his feet set when he took the charge.
dog, that's narcissism, bro. That's more than just naivety. Like, you really think, you know what I mean? The fact that that exists is amazing. And that would want you.
For you, right? Because you got some good tweets, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't Sleepless in Seattle. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? You watching a lot of rom-coms out here, my nigga, to believe that bullshit. You thought you was Tom Hanks out there, motherfucker. Fuck you, nigga. Joshua Two Saints, nigga. You know what I mean? You might be in a motherfucking Geo Metro. Talk, man, you know what I mean? Fuck out of here with that shit.
I do think that Josh got catfished, though, at this point. Yeah. Like, the further it goes on, the more I believe that. I believe his version of things.
Yeah. I was definitely thinking that he was the diabolical mind behind this sinister plot. But as things have unfurled, I'm definitely with you. I think he got caught up too. I'm not sure who's behind it, why they're behind it, but I don't think that Josh is in it. But
Twitter like, don't give a fuck. Respond to him. So she didn't respond to him, and that's why he said she's missing, because like she missed the text.
Her sister hit him on Instagram, I think, right? Isn't that how it went?
DM'd him and said she's missing. Can you help? I mean, it is worth noting. The reason this ascended to a level of consciousness where fucking Kevin Durant was talking about it is because she was missing, Lakers Twitter was like, everyone was looking for her. Like, everyone was coming together.
Everybody retweeted that shit, dog.
I mean,
Marquise
players on the team.
Players on the team. Yeah. They're getting their security to come help and find. Like, you know what I mean?
So that's nice. I mean, that's a nice thing about Twitter. You know, like, people trying to help each other. But he hasn't tried to make any money off of it. You know what I mean? And he was clear. I mean, to me, and I haven't been successfully catfished, I think I'm a pretty good critical thinker and bullshit detector, he definitely seemed very fucking embarrassed about it. Which is like, I feel like if I was still, I mean, I probably would have deleted my account if I were him, but he was like, he sort of mea culpa'd on just like, hey man, this is what happened. I know people, not everyone's going to believe me. It's super fucking embarrassing, you know, whatever. And I'm just like going to lay it out there. So I do think he kind of got duped. I don't know. First of all, like, who would dupe him? And second of all, like, to what end?
Bro,
like,
because you're not a fucking weirdo. There's a bunch of these folks out here, bro,
who just like, they're not trying to make any money.
No, bro, like, they're lonely. They want to be a person they're not. And they want to get in. And that's how they get the engagement. You know what I'm saying? Is by,
but I try and get engagement on social media so I can feed my children. What are they trying to get engagement for?
You can't take out the fact that you're not a fucking weirdo. Okay.
Yeah. That's a big part of this,
bro. Right. Dog. Like, you would have deleted your account because you've never been embarrassed like that. Joshua Two Saints, based upon him doing this for 10 years, he's probably been embarrassed a number of times, bro. Like, most people wouldn't have held on to this for a decade, bro. It really is kind of fucked up when you think about it, dog.
It's more,
you
know, it's, I mean, and on top of that, if I was him, I mean, I would be hiring a private dick to find out who it is. I mean, like that, like, no, I mean, you have to know who Tracy? That is, right?
Is that what we're talking about?
No, I just said, like, I'd be hiring a private investigator for real.
Yeah, but like the face of a private dick. The way that you dick. Said that, yeah. I've never heard that.
We gotta go a little noir, you feel me?
There we go. Noir, yeah.
A little private dick to figure this one out.
Yeah.
A gumshoe.
A gumshoe.
Private gumshoe.
A man-seeing eye. Oh, we got a wise guy here.
I got a wise guy.
Yeah.
This nigga said private dick. Anyway,
but I will say this. I do. I haven't been catfished. I do feel like, as someone who is currently on a podcast with two people that I met through the internet, I do feel like a little bit of a authority on the verification steps you go through. Like,
oh, for sure.
I mean, right. That's like crazy. We used to joke all the time on the pod about, like, for all people know, Tyler doesn't have any arms or legs. He's just laying on the floor, tweeting with his nose bumping up against his phone,
like a fucking woodpecker dog going crazy.
That's always one of my theories. 83% of people on Twitter don't have legs. That's something I've been running with ever since I've been.
Remember when they thought you were a Russian operative?
Yes, they have thought. They thought I was they thought I was the feds, a Russian operative, a white person from Iowa, all types.
Right.
I remember before we even knew each other, someone called you, but you were probably just a white girl who likes to say the N-word. And yeah. I was so mad at that person. And I didn't know you that I had to back away. I was like, this, and that's the survival skill you need to not get catfished. Once you start getting emotional about shit on the internet where you haven't seen their both arms and both legs, just put the phone down and walk away from it. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like I don't think I would ever be annoyed, irritated, whatever, at a catfish. This shit's hilarious to me.
Right.
It's funny as fuck. Like, you know, I wasn't familiar with this girl, but, you know, I was like, when she quote unquote went missing, I retweeted a tweet or two because, you know, I wanted this person, you know, to get found safe. But then when the shit came out, when the tweet, last vehicle she was seen in, a 2020 Bentley Continental GT, that's when the record scratched for me, bro. Yeah, that's right, the Scooby-Doo.
Right.
2020 Bentley GT. That's the car to be on the lookout for this foreign baller leukemia patient. And that's the bullshit, too. She threw that cancer shit in so we wouldn't question her. That's a classic catfish trick. You throw in the cancer card so people feel like a dick if they
also
question. Right?
Also, that cancer will make you want to, you know, support that person, obviously.
That
right?
too.
She
yes.
really played on him being a solid dude. That's really fucked up out here, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I don't. I mean, and when people have the times that people have tried to use my identity or my writing partner's identity, it's I don't usually find it funny because it's like, bro, it's kind of like with the internet, it's like traffic signals. We all know anytime you leave the house in your car, someone could just decide to run straight through an intersection and kill you, your whole family, whatever.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
We all know that in the world, we're all bought into certain safety measures that keep everything.
We're talking about catfish. And you
know, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. We also all know that on the internet, you're operating under a shared set of assumptions that strangers aren't going to just try and fuck your life up for no reason. Because if there were, if we did not operate on that assumption, none of us would have a fucking Twitter account, right? Like, we just wouldn't be on the internet. And so it's the same thing. It's like you're hacking this dude being a decent person and the fact that, like, people are inherently more trusting than they should be in 2021.
Especially a photoshopped humans.
Yes. I mean, the photoshops are bad, bro. Some
dude,
of the
those are the so photoshops bad. That, like, when like you would go on porn sites back in the day, and so, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna say anybody's name, but so and so nudes, and I mean, I was like fucking 17, like, oh my god, you know what I mean? Like, bro, obviously not true, you know what I mean?
Let me say this. I hope we don't learn anything else about this shit. I hope we don't find out who was running the Vivian account. You know what I mean? I hope
just
we can leave
it
here.
Funny and
leave
on.
It here where it's funny.
Yeah, I don't want anybody getting locked up over some fuck over a low self-esteem out here.
But
you know what I mean,
on a last note, people do not go missing in Bentleys, bro. Like,
everybody knows where the Bentley's at. They might not know where the human's at. They know where the Bentley is at.
That motherfucker, you know, that motherfucker probably got the same technology that NASA has for their satellite. Right? Like, you can find a motherfucking Bentley in like 0.08 seconds, bro.
Shit. You can fly a Bentley to the moon, nigga.
Shit. All right. Well, the saga of Vivian, Vivian got us through this. Vivian got us through this.
I really want to know how she pronounced her name now. Because that would be great if it was like Vivian. You know what I mean? And like,
hey, you Vivian. Believe this? You know what I mean? Anyway.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Over Under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/overunder and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/overunder. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. This saga is leading us out of the dark tunnel that was the Lakers with no Bron and no AD. We're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. We just got, like, right before we hopped on, the news that AD is coming back tomorrow. As a Lakers fan, I'm very excited. As a Lakers fan, I'm very nervous about any of those dudes being on the court. But what do you guys think? How happy are you? Are we watching Lakers games again?
I've been watching some of them, honestly. But I talked to Schroeder yesterday, and he said that AD is making sure that he was not coming back until he's 110%. Sure. So he ain't on some, like, trying to push it. He's like, no, yeah. I want to make sure everything's straight. So I feel confident in that AD's not putting himself in harm's way just to win a couple of regular season fucking games. And the Lakers, I think, are like 8-6 or some shit without them. So, like, they're maintaining to a degree, you know? Like, so I don't think he's rushing back for that reason. So I feel confident in that.
So you're letting yourself just be purely excited that he's back and we get to watch him.
I want him to get the reps, obviously, before the postseason. I want Bron to come back and get some reps together, get that timing together so they can be like, you know, got to get that train rolling. You know what I'm saying? But, like, as far as, like, him being back and, like, this season has just been such a fucking mess, dog. Like, I'm more happy about him being healthy than him actually playing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Same shit. I don't give a fuck about these regular season wins or losses. If AD says he's good to go, I'm happy about that because he's someone who has absolutely told, you know, other teams, you know, kiss my ass, I'll come back when I'm ready, like he did with the Pelicans. So, you know, if he says he's good to go, he's good to go. So, good news there.
Yeah, I agree. And it's exactly what John said. I think we saw with I think the Clippers saw last year. I mean, you can't just get everyone healthy for the start of the playoffs and then snap your fingers and you're ready to win a championship. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to, you know, get some reps. And obviously they play together a lot, but I'm glad he's coming back in time. Bron, you know, looks like he's making progress. So he'll be back a little bit, you know, before as well. So all that's good news. Cause it's exactly what you said. This regular season, I will remember how shitty this season of basketball was for a long time.
Yeah.
it's like, dude, what player have we mentioned? Like, even like on the outskirts of MVP that hasn't been hurt. You know what I mean? It's like every guy has gone down. Like, even like Dame's hurt now. He's coming back, I think Thursday, coming back to tomorrow, which will be today when you hear this, but you know what I mean? Like, right. But yeah, like, you know, I mean, everybody's hurt. Like, there's a long list. And also it's weird that the NBA came back and was like, hey, injuries are down, trying to, you know, that was so gross to me. Like, we all see what's happening. Players are saying, even though they all agreed to play, that players are saying, we shouldn't do this again. don't say this in hopes that we'll get behind this again or anybody will, because we see the effect of playing six games in 8 days or seven out of
for some of these teams just like 2 months after last season ended, I think is
right,
is at least as big as the number of games per week. John, you said someone hit you up on Twitter asking about, we've obviously all been loving watching Steph appointment viewing for the last couple of weeks. You said someone hit you up asking if you thought Steph's season this year was better than Westbrook's MVP year.
I wouldn't say somebody hit me up. My homegirl, Siri, watches on Dunk, but we talk about this too. She hit me up saying that, like, that was, we were talking about, like, yo, do I think that Steph's, this season, Steph's season he's having is better than, you know, like the MVP year. And I'm like, dude, I love what Steph's doing right now. And I don't want to argue against Steph. You know what I mean? Because like, I'm having a ball. Like, what this moment, this peak, I'd say is better than what most basketball I've ever seen. I don't give a fuck who's playing. You know what I mean? This what he's had, this moment he's having is absolutely fucking insane over these like last 10 games or something. But like the year as a whole, no. I mean, Westbrook broke a 55-year fucking, you know what I'm saying, record with triple-doubles, having 42. He averaged 31, 10, and 10, was clutch as fuck, led the league in fourth-quarter points. You know what I mean? Like, dog, like, I mean, and dude, we talk about, you know, one thing she mentioned was that, you know, he had some decent players on his team, but they weren't as good as they are now when he was playing with them. Depot wasn't Depot back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a bad year, actually. You know what I'm saying? And, like, dude, I mean, what he did to get that team in the set to I think what sixth in the West was incredible. Like the 2020 game, incredible. Yeah. But like, you know, as great as what Steph's doing, the team's still 10th in the fucking West. They're trying to make it into the fucking playoff. You know what I'm saying? Like
play into the playoffs.
Like play into the playoff. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like they're trying to make it to the play-in tourney. So like, what I love watching it. We're all hitting each other up like, yo. Steph fucking playing, you know what I mean? Steph's having a Steph game, but I wouldn't say this season compares.
Yeah, it's you know, it goes back to what you said. What Steph is doing right now is absolutely fucking ridiculous. But it's kind of like even when he spazzes, we still don't know if Golden State's gonna win. Like when Russ flipped that switch, you know, in 16-17, it was like, okay, OKC is winning this fucking game. You know what I mean? Like he would do whatever needed to be done. I'm not at all saying Steph doesn't do all he can because he's laying that shit out there every night too, but it's so different, right? Because Steph is just super smooth, right? And Russ is a fucking force of nature, right? So it's two different playing styles to compare, two different, you know, completely different players. But I do think I was a bit more in awe at Russ's season than I am at this season for Steph. Yeah.
And I mean, we're not saying though Russ is a better player. You know what I mean? Like we're not, you know what I'm saying?
He's
like
not. He's not.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying the hell out of what Steph's doing. This peak, I think this peak is better than, like I said, most people I've seen, but I mean, like the season as a whole was insane. You know, like, you know, and they made it to the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? With that bum ass squad he had, you know what I mean?
I'm so curious about like 15 years from now, how will we and how the younger generation will look back at these guys. Like there's so many dudes that are good and in kind of unique ways right now. Like the Steph, Dame, Russ, Harden, like guard class is, it's such a fascinating,
ridiculous,
different group of players.
CP3 too. Put the
yeah, for sure.
Too. Yeah.
But
golden age point guards right now. Yes.
Yeah. And they're so different, but we also know like five dudes who played at the same time don't make it 15 years down the road in terms of the cultural imagination. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. like, you think of even watching like Last Dance, which obviously went pretty in depth. Like these dudes who were playing against the Bulls, I mean, they're legends, they're covers in magazines and all this stuff. And now they're kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, he played when Jordan was playing in the cultural knowledge. You know what I mean? Not to basketball diehards.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm curious about that because I feel like Steph will be the guy. You know what I mean? Steph will be sort of the transcendent figure that just because he's got so many kids who love him. But I'm
curious basketball.
About that.
He broke, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But like, I mean, I think that's interesting. Also, I wonder that, I think the thing about Russ is, like, Russ has played with some, had some great teammates, you know what I'm saying? And people say that these triple-doubles don't necessarily equate to winning. You know, he's won. I mean, he's won a chip, you know, but he's been constantly playing in the playoffs.
But yeah, like I think the thing with him is it hasn't equated to greatness in the way that we thought it would. If you were just to say his numbers, you would think we'd be talking about a top 30 player ever or top 20 player ever based upon all the triple doubles and his numbers alone. But like, you know, he'll probably be in that top 75, you know, like players ever, you know, when they make that list. But where will he be? A guy with the type of numbers and the type of, you know, things he's done will not be where he probably should, because, you know, like those numbers haven't equated to greatness like that. They're fun. But like the thing with Steph is hella fun. And Steph is, he's out of this fucking world when it comes to greatness. And there's that difference. But I mean, like, there's really no comparison between the two. Like we said, we're not comparing the two. We're just comparing the season. So.
Right.
But yeah.
And I was going to say, Russ is in an era now where we have seen offenses move as streamlined, efficient machines, right? And Russ himself is the fucking machine, right? So he's kind of an outlier there where he's not someone who's going to. Yeah, yeah. You know, Russ isn't someone who's going to necessarily help your offense flow smoother, flow easier. He's someone who's, you know, you give him the ball and Russ is going to do Russ shit. You know what I mean? So that's something that we'll have to consider too when evaluating him. Like Mike said, like I think the podium, the gold, silver, bronze podium for this era is going to be KD, Bron, Steph, right? Those are going to be the guys 15, 20 years from now who are
everybody's, you know, talking about.
Right. Yeah. That's going to be the trio there. And it's going to be interesting to see how the other guys fall in line after them. So yeah, definitely agree with Mike there.
Speaking of the cultural imagination, the Clippers are playing fucking great, and it does not. No feel one like
gives a fuck.
Anyone cares at all? Like,
their record is the best in the West. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, best period, I think, in the NBA since the All-Star break. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kawhi's having an incredible fucking year. PG is like maybe the best year of his career. You know what I'm saying? Morris been playing great as of late. They're doing all this. They're all doing all this winning without Ibaka, who has a back injury. You know what I'm saying? Like, and nobody gives a fuck. And I think it's because of PG. I think it's because we saw what happened last year. We saw Pandemic P, who was a Pandemic P pre-pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the playoffs, we saw what he does. I think, like, and that's so wild to me. The team is this good. That name the top four teams in the West. What, the Jazz, the Suns, the Clippers, and the Nuggets. Who's the best team out of those four?
Clippers.
Yeah. And nobody gives a fuck. Nobody's talking about them. You know what I'm saying? Like when AD and Bron come back, and if they're healthy and they're playing smooth, we obviously, like, they're the best team in the West. But it's interesting nobody brings them up.
You texted us and said, let's talk about the Clippers. And literally my reaction was like, what are we going to talk about with the Clippers? Right. You said they're playing great and no one gives a shit. It's like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's wild. I really think what we saw last year ruined the experiment. We're not interested in that anymore. Yeah. We saw them shit their pants against the Nuggets. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is. They're the NBA Atlanta Falcons now, right? Like, the Falcons would go 12-4, 13-3, but no one gives a fuck because we know you're going to go 28 and you know, blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Or you know, like they blew a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference.
Right.
I actually think you can stay in the NBA. Like, they feel very much like James Harden's Houston Rockets to me. Like, yeah. Like, we know they're good. Yeah, like, we know they're good, but... You know, like, but we've noticed that they're good in the regular season a few years in a row.
Yeah.
But they could also be, to go to a different sport, they could also be the Dodgers last year, where the Dodgers had gone to the World Series and lost a couple times.
Cardinals whooped that ass.
And so everyone goes, fuck off. And so everyone,
that ass. Go ahead.
But so everyone goes, you know, yeah, like, we know they've got all these good dudes, but but then they won. And so now this year it's, wow, the Dodgers are this historic team. So I just think this is one of the problems with basketball and with the NBA is, like, everyone's waiting for the playoffs, man. You know, like, all this legacy, is this team good? Like, have you heard anyone actually passionately argue about fucking power rankings that wasn't paid to argue about power rankings? Not where fans are, because the memory of the playoffs looms so large over the regular season.
Especially this one being that nobody's playing this regular season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was watching, like, these, they're so good. I've been looking at that. I've been, you know, and I was listening to
Clippers fans aren't even talking shit.
No.
I think, like, they're quiet as fuck. Like, we're not going to do this again.
right. I think that
they were talking big shit last season. They were ridiculous.
I think that's why it could be better for them this year because there aren't those same expectations. They're just playing ball. And Paul George may be more comfortable without the pressures of a chip hanging over him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but it doesn't matter what people are talking about when you get to the playoffs, right? Like, once you get to the playoffs, this shit's hanging over you
second matters. Yeah, right? But with it mattering and the expectations of winning a chip, you know what I'm saying? Like, and a guy like, you know, Paul George, you know, just it might not be it. But, yeah.
We shall see.
We shall see. But he's having a good, hell of a good year. He's going to get – he's the type of dude, he might not ever win anything, but he'll always get paid. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, like
– so – this week, the I feel like a sleazy lawyer talking about this shit, but I do think it's an important story. The relationship between Kobe Bryant's estate and Nike reached the end of its contractual obligation, however you want to say it. Obviously, we've talked on the podcast about going forward, like you don't cease to exist when you pass on from this world anymore, like. You know, you talking about Bob Ross in the Mountain Dew commercial or whatever it was, right?
Was
like,
gross still.
Yeah, but that's where we're headed. We're headed in that direction. So what did you guys think about this and kind of the end of the Kobe Nike era?
You know, it's been said, well, you know, that Kobe kind of wanted to move away. That, like, that's what kind of the estate is saying. And there was a trademark filed for, like, Mamba line. So they're probably going to kick off their own shit. So, you know, if this was the vision that Kobe had and if Vanessa's carrying out, then who the fuck are we to, you know, question it? That's them. That's their family. That's their estate. So, you know, best of luck to them with that.
Yeah, I can't question a decision, any decision that Vanessa makes when it comes to this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? At all. You feel me? Like, I, you know, but I will say I loved a lot of them Kobes. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, was crazy. Were the Huaraches Kobes? They felt like it was Kobe's shoe, though.
Yeah, the 04 Huaraches. He kind of made them his, but they weren't officially Kobe's.
But I think my favorite Kobe, first of all, like, he kind of, like, you know, people will say that Steve Nash revolutionized hoop shoes by making the low tops, and he was the first person to wear low tops, but I don't know a motherfucker that was buying low tops because of Steve Nash, you know what I mean?
Not a soul. Kobe's, I didn't even know who the fuck was Steve Nash with. I don't even know,
he was with a Nike, but he just liked low top versions of shoes. I mean, I think even there was, my first pair of low tops were actually the first LeBrons. They were like the LeBron ones. They had some Olympic versions of them, and he had a low top pair. They're my favorite hooping shoes I ever hooped in. But anyway, regards to that, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was wearing low tops once Kobe started making those low tops. You feel me? And, like, though, I think the Sixes, like the Christmas Sixes with that green sock in them, that them and the Pride of Grinches are my two favorite Kobe's. Kobe's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love them shits, man. I actually got the Grinches off of Gold on some, like, fuck it. Let me go ahead and cop these since they ain't making no more. I don't even know if they can retro them anymore. Let me cop and have, you know, a pair, you know, just in the vault. You feel me?
Blue Lagoon's hands are my favorite Kobe's. I got a pair. Love them to death. It's one of the prettiest sneakers I've ever seen in my life. I love the Blue Lagoon's hands.
And then all the pro trolls they had, where they were like all the, like the different variations they were dropping, like all the leaguers had them on, like that Kobe line, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I think, well, that's probably second to MJ, you know what I'm saying? And as far as in, like, you know, I mean, Penny might be third, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's one, two, and three. And there's, I mean, everybody else is four, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know anybody. I mean, you know, Bron has had his shoes, but, you know.
Yeah, it's about four out of, like, 13 Brons that I like, so.
Right. Yeah, the All-Star, I think the All-Star, I think they're the seven.
The Hyper Blues, yeah.
Those were crazy as hell. They just re-released. Those were crazy. The ones were cool, you know what I'm saying? But, like, everybody loved the nines. Wasn't a big fan. People fuck with the tens. I wasn't a big fan, you know what I mean? They were so beefy. They made for a guy that's twice my size. It's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
but yeah, man, like, you know, as far as the decision that was made, no question about that. I do love the Kobe line, though.
For sure. And I want to say, even if, to be honest with you, even if it wasn't his vision, you know, I mean, it's that's his family, you know, like,
exactly that too.
No question.
But we, you know, something, when you brought up the Bob Ross thing, John, I think we started talking about deep fakes and we didn't really get into this, but I'm curious for your guys' opinion on it. When you, like, we all have people we care about that we're, you know, we're going to be supporting over the next however many years or, you know, whatever. When you pass away, like, I hope my wife, you know, if I pass away before my time, I hope my wife finds a way to to make money off me. You know what I mean? Like, I hope there's something that I could continue to contribute and support my kids and my family and everything, right? Like, do you have, I hope she doesn't do something like where I was out here looking stupid. I don't know what that would be, but like, I don't know. That is like,
honestly,
a weird,
wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
put my
like
body on Highway 70. Do whatever the fuck you want. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't, the idea of like, I think that what the Bob Ross shit that grossed me out is because it's Mountain Dew. Bob Ross wasn't drinking Mountain Dew. Bob Ross might have been actively against, you know, his relaxed ass, like, you know, peaceful. He might have been actively against kids drinking fucking soda and shit. And then you use his image for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I mean, but like, when I, like, it's different when it comes to like money making in a way that changes somebody's, you know, the perception of somebody. Because some kids will be like, you know, that's, you know, that they don't know the
Mountain Dew commercial.
You feel
yeah.
me? Exactly. And then, but like when it's Tupac, we're like, it's an experience. I know, like Tupac, I know Coachella made a bunch of money off that. But I mean, it was people experiencing it. It was a joyous thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. So it felt a little different. But like, honestly, like if my people use me for whatever that way they want to, if I ever do anything that's worth being used again, I don't give a fuck. I obviously won't give a fuck because I'm not here anymore. You know what I'm saying? If I can. And so like, it just felt gross to me as somebody that would sit and watch, you know, Bob Ross paint in elementary school and middle school and just be, you know, sit. That's the only time I sat down for like, you know, during that time, you know, I want to listen to his voice. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, before we end the show, you know, obviously the topic of the week, the thing that we were all really transfixed by the last couple of days was the trial of the man who murdered George Floyd, whose name I know but don't want to repeat or publicize anywhere in the world, was convicted, police officer, on all three counts of having committed murder, which is what he did, which we all saw. What are your guys' thoughts on that? You know, did you watch the end of the trial? I avoided the trial as much as I could, but I watched the verdict being read. What were your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't watch the actual verdict. My nerves were too bad for that. I figured I'd just get it through the info through Twitter or whatever. You know, I'm not here to police anybody's feelings about this, right? If you found joy in that, if great. If it made you happy, great. It didn't make me happy. I didn't find joy in it. I figured there were going to be two outcomes here, right? If he was found guilty, I was going to be I was going to feel empty, but a little less empty, I guess you could say. And if he was found not guilty, I'd have been pissed off, but not surprised, right? So, you know, I just felt a bit empty with it. It doesn't bring Floyd back. You can say it's justice. If the family views it as justice, then, you know, great for them. But I don't know. It just leaves me feeling empty. That's just where I'm at right now.
I think Judnick, she was saying that she just, even when we're hearing the guilty verdict, she said she couldn't forget that the fact that he died, you know, like asking for his mom to help him. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I'm not, like you said, it's not going to bring Floyd back. You know what I mean? So like, for me, like I'm not really too hopeful. I don't really be wasting my time with hope with these motherfuckers if I'm keeping it a stack. You feel me? But I'm just not completely hopeless. And that's where I'm at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw a stat where like this is like the seventh cop that's been convicted over a certain amount of years. That's murdered, you know, I think there's been 15,000, you know, cop killings. You know what I'm saying? This is the seventh cop that's been convicted, and we needed a nine minute video of it. And we were still nervous prior to it. You know what I mean? So like, justice was served, but I'm not happy justice was served. I wish George Floyd could still be here with his family. You know what I'm saying? And I can't change that. So, but, and then also, you know, with the young lady being shot, while the verdict was being read, it just seems like pussy ass cops need to stop being cops, bro. If you fucking dog, like what was she 15?
Yeah. Yep.
15 years old.
If you're scared to tussle with a 5'4" 15-year-old girl, why the fuck are you a police officer?
That's, bro, it's your fucking job. Okay.
It's your fuck. If you ain't built for it, go be a fucking accountant or a fucking whatever the fuck, you know what I'm saying? Sit your ass in a desk, all right? If you ain't built for these streets, stay the fuck out of them motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? Like, dog, it's sickening. And so when you get some like, okay, maybe, and then the same moment that happens, you know what I'm saying? I still feel like burn this shit down and start it off. I still feel the exact same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My comment, the only thing I would say, because I mean, hopeless is obviously the default. It's the correct rational reaction. I mean, if you've been paying any attention, right, for mm-hmm. the history of the country, what I would say is, you see all the time on Twitter and everywhere, people are saying like, you can't reform this, et cetera, et cetera. If we ended qualified immunity across the country, mm-hmm. you could reform it pretty quickly, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Different decisions would be made for sure. You feel me?
If all of a sudden my actions mean people can sue me, they could take money out of my pocket, then even if the system can't be changed, which I don't necessarily believe that it can, mm-hmm. my willingness to participate in that system is going to be a lot different. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the one doing this to people if it means they could sue me, right? And I feel the same way about one of the other big, hopeless, horrible things in our country with the problems with mass shootings and the easiness with which people can get guns. You can't sue gun manufacturers. That's a law in America. If people were using Hondas to carry out mass killings, you could sue Honda and say, you need to fix something, that there's a cutoff switch or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we can't sue the rule of law that we have in our country to allegedly improve and fix and change things does not really apply to police officers' behavior or to gun manufacturers. And so there's not really any recourse other than a federal government that passes two bills every 4 years to change anything. And so that's where I come back to with it whenever I think about it. But I think we did all collectively want to say fuck Matt Forte, former NFL player, who I'm not going to read his fucking garbage tweet, but he posted the opinion about a horrible tragedy of a young girl being killed in Chicago that has no fucking thing in the world to do with the issue of police officers shooting people, and said the usual nonsense of like, if this is how we're treating each other, how can we expect other people to value our lives, blah blah blah. Like, fuck that opinion so much, bro.
But people act like there aren't a lot of people in orgs actively working on that. And also, that's not a lot of these things happen.
It just doesn't have anything to do with it.
Nothing.
Like, this person's dying of brain cancer, so you can't be mad at this person being home. You know what I mean? Like,
and when they find that person, they will be convicted. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no doubt that motherfucker's going to jail. That's the issue we're having. It's a very different issue. But it's like, dog, quit taking away from one struggle. Like, well, dude, nope. And that's a sickening thing. We're all hurt. And I can understand seeing that and being hurt and saying we have to change it. I get that feeling, because I feel the same way when I see shit like that, right? You know what I mean? But to take away from one thing, you know what I'm saying? To where, you know, like, especially with all the information we have about you know, what's going on with cops and the system with black people and shit like that, it's just like, bro, they're both really fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And they both have to be worked on. And it's there's people that are doing that. You know what I mean? Like, and like, dog, like, white people kill white people too, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you kill people, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a bunch of factors that go into this that makes it just extremely stupid statement.
Yeah, it's of course, you know, you can still be pissed and angry about, you know, the thing with the 7-year-old kid who was murdered in Chicago. You can be equally pissed off at cops murdering people, right? Like, I don't understand why you have to assert that black people have to earn a right to live, right? We have to earn the right to not be murdered. It's just a shitty racist talking point. And when it gets parroted by black people, they're doing the work of white supremacists by that, because no one tells white people, oh, y'all have to stop all the mass murders, all the mass shootings, you know, if you truly wanted to be respected as a people. No one tells them that. But black people, we're always told that we have to earn the right to live. you know, and it's a cop out because it's they'll always move the goalposts on that shit. So fuck that.
The way we all see the world is through our own experiences and the people that we've known and been around, right? This particular viewpoint has always driven me crazy because my experience with gun violence is inner city gun violence in Long Beach. We've had a horrible fucking year for it. I grew up in the 90s. It was constant.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see people talking about abolish the police on Twitter, my experience is colored through the experiences that I've had in my city, which is the people I know who would be most against abolishing the police are elderly Black people and Cambodian people,
mm-hmm.
who are terrified, who've been terrified at long stretches of time about the amount of gun violence and gang violence happening in their city.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are also afraid of the police. And both of those fears are completely justified. So they want there to be someone that they can call that will help, but they don't want to be worried that those people are going to kill them or their kids. And I don't understand how, I certainly understand saying, I feel like there's a problem in my community and I feel this way in Long Beach, even not being Black or having been in a gang. I understand the problem feeling there's a problem in my community that needs to be solved and I want to solve it. But to say we can't solve this other completely separate and enormous problem until we solve this problem, it doesn't, you're adding tragedy on top of tragedy. It just doesn't, it doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm with Tyler. Like, no one needs to do anything to earn the right to not get killed by government right. officials who are employed for our protection as a community. Like,
exactly. Fuck that shit.
All right. I wish we were just talking about Vivian the whole fucking episode. God damn it. Fuck.
We gotta talk about this shit. We Vivian. Never avoid these conversations. You know what I mean?
So
Vivian. Vivian.
All right. That's our episode. Looking forward to having some basketball, maybe with some healthy players to talk about for next episode. We'll be back on Monday. Like us, subscribe to us. Well, you don't have to like it. You know what I mean. On the digitally like us, subscribe to us, give us 5 stars, all that other shit. We'll see you guys on Monday.